I'm going to expound a catechism question and answer from an Orthodox catechism. Here's the question and answer, and if I had a title for this, it would be something like, "For what cause are we to do good works?" Because that's the question. "Whereas we are delivered from all our sins and miseries without any merit of ours by the mercy of God, only for Christ's sake, for what cause are we to do good works?" It's a really good question. It says, look, we get all the benefits of Christ, not by virtue of doing good works, though. But we are to do good works, so why should we do them? If we are to do good works, not to get, we already get by the mere mercy of God, it's the promise of the gospel, then why ought we to do good works? Here's the answer. Because after Christ has redeemed us with his blood, he renews us also by his Spirit to the image of himself, that we, receiving so great benefits, should show ourselves all our lifetime thankful to God and honor him. Secondly, that every one of us be assured of his faith by his fruit. And third, or lastly, that by our good conversation, we may win others to Christ. So question 91 reflects the truths already considered in the catechism. It just assumes them. And notice these words: sins, miseries, merit, mercy, for Christ's sake. See, this question and its answer assumes a lot of doctrine already. And these terms, these words, should trigger our memories to remember our guilt and God's grace toward us in Christ. You remember how the catechism can be broken down? Guilt, grace, and the last G is gratitude. Because we are guilty and because God has been utterly gracious to us, we ought to be grateful to God for his for those benefits. So basically, the question means something like this. In light of all that has been said, now what? In light of my guilt, God's grace, now what? And the answer is gratitude, thankfulness. Good works is the answer. But the question goes deeper and asks, for what cause are we to do good works? It's a very important question. For what is the ground? What is the reason for believers performing good works? The answer is threefold. First, because we owe God thankfulness and honor. Second, because of our need for assurance of faith. And third, because others need to know Christ as we do. So good works are the way of thankfulness. Good works are the way of assurance. Good works are the way of witness, we could say. The theological reasoning goes like this: since redeemed, therefore live not for ourselves, but for him who loved us and gave himself for us. You know, the therefore at Romans 12:1 is based on the mercies of God that he's expounded in Romans 1 through 11, based on the mercies of God expounded through Romans in Romans 1 through 11, chapter 12 says, give yourself up for him in light of all the mercies of God. Don't live for self, live for Christ. So first, believers are to perform good works because this is how we show our thankfulness to God. Here's the catechism. Because after Christ has redeemed us with his blood, he renews us also by his Spirit to the image of himself, that we, receiving so great benefits, should show ourselves all our lifetime thankful to God and honor him. So good works which come from Christ by virtue of the Spirit's work in us are the way of showing ourselves thankful and the way to honor the Lord. How can I honor the Lord? How can I show my thankfulness? Do what he says. It's like, it's not rocket science, right? Do what he says. Who's he? God. Who's God? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What has he done? Well, I ought you to glorify God because he made me and takes care of me, right? That's the little catechism. But not only that, he not only made me, he's my creator, and takes care of me, he's the providential ruler, he has redeemed or saved me. How did he redeem or save me? Incarnation, sufferings, and glory. Did he deserve sufferings? No. Did he voluntarily take upon himself sufferings that we deserved, that we earned, that we should have got? Yes. Why? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now, if you think about yourself, do you think Christ Jesus loved me and gave himself up for me because I'm so lovable? Because I was lovely. No, unlovely, but not unlovable. Did he love you when you were in your sins, or did he only love you after you came to him? He loved you while you were in your sins. What kind of benefits do I get from this lovely Savior who loves the unlovely like me? I get faith. I get repentance, I get union with him, I get justification, I get adoption, I get sanctification, I get glorification, I get all the promises in the Bible that are yea and amen in him, they're all mine, no matter what life looks like. And by the way, life doesn't always look very pleasant because it's not always pleasant. It's hard. But it doesn't change the... What can separate you from the love of God? Nothing. Remember that list of things that can't separate you from the love of God? And that, toward the end, in that Romans 8 passage, Paul ends up saying, or any other created thing, right? Remember that? Because sometimes I can read that whole list of things and I'm going, yeah, but I can separate me from the love of God. And Paul says, no, you can't. Nor any other created thing. You're a created thing. You can't separate. If you're in Christ, you can't separate yourself from the love of God. We've got a lot of benefits we should be thankful for. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Because redeemed, give yourself away. Second, good works are the way of assurance of faith. Good works are the way of assurance of faith. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. That's the fruit of the Spirit. You say, well, I don't love like I ought to. Do you have genuine Christian love for other people? You say, well, yeah, but it's not very oomphy. It's not very deep. It's not very lovely. What's not very lovely? My genuine Christian love for others. You're what? The fruit of the Spirit is love. joy. You say, well, my joy is not very joyful. Do you have joy? Are there times in your life you go, you know what? I have this satisfaction of soul, this contentment of soul. Deep down, I know everything's right between me and my maker because of the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's medicine for my soul. Do you have that? The fruit of the Spirit is joy. See what I'm doing here? If you have these things, I'm not talking about the degree or measure of them. All of us, if we're honest, oh Lord, cause more love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, fruit, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control to be born in my soul. I want more of it. My point is this, if you have it, you have Christ, because these are benefits that come by virtue of being savingly united to him, and you should be assured of your faith if you have it. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. As ugly as those might be in your life. Ugly love, ugly joy, ugly peace, ugly patience, ugly kindness, ugly goodness, ugly faithfulness, ugly gentleness, ugly self-control is still the genuine thing. You get my point there, right? So don't use your lack of sanctification. Don't use degrees of these things against yourself. By the way, you'll lose. If you want to lose assurance, be a navel gazer. Forget the promises of God. Just look at yourself. It won't take long to be discouraged. And if you need help being discouraged, I can help you. Good works are a fruit of the Spirit in us, and they can be a means of assurance for us. And they should be. Not the primary means of assurance, but a means of assurance. By the way, what's the primary means of assurance? Jesus hath lived, hath died for me. That's the primary means of assurance, right? God's promise in the gospel, not the fruit in my life. So, on the one hand, good works can be a means of assurance for us, but a proper balance and a proper diet is needed, or else we're going to become navel gazers. And you know what happens when you become a navel gazer? You don't just navel gaze your own navel. You become fruit inspectors for other people too. And we're not going to do that. Third, good works are the way of witness. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. In the same way, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Good works are the way of witness. Good works have a way of affecting others. Let your light shine before men in such a way as that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. That was Matthew 5:16. Good works are the way of witness. That doesn't mean you're witnessing the gospel necessarily by your good works. Right? Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So unbelievers can see our good works and recognize something good in them, and it can affect them. The way we conduct ourselves as neighbors to our unbelieving neighbors can have a positive effect on them and ultimately be a means of witnessing to the goodness of God, not necessarily to the gospel. We have to open your mouth for that, right? What is that statement somebody said? Preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. You can't preach the gospel without using words. Okay? You can be seraphic in your sanctification. You can be, floating 6 inches off the ground and with a halo and angelic wings in your piety. But that's not going to save anybody. But it does have a place in Christian living. Good works are the way of witnessing to others of the goodness of God in your life and might be a hook. Excuse me, that hooks them. By the way, love is often a hook. We can love each other to death. And nobody will get saved. They don't watch Christians love each other and go, wow, I'm going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ because I saw how they love each other. But they can see our love and start to wonder, why do they love like this? I've never been loved like this before. Why do they love me? The answer is because they've been loved by the Redeemer, and they understand that kind of love. So why should we do good works? To merit heaven. Wrong. Why should we do good works? To impress the pastor. No. Why should we do good works? Because we're saved sinners. Because we have a Redeemer. Because of the incarnation and the sufferings and the glory of our Lord Jesus. Because of all the benefits that are freely deposited into our account and into our souls. Because of not only the fact that he made us and preserves us, but the fact that he saved you and me. Wretches, unworthy, enemies, ungodly. He justifies the ungodly, as Paul says. We ought to do good works to maintain our own sanity as believers in a hard world. We can gain assurance by just doing what we're told. We can look back and say, you know what? That's the grace of God in my life. Because right now, I'm miserable. I got trials in my life. There are things happening, you know, around me and some of it within that are pretty depressing and discouraging. But you know what? When it's all said and done, after I sin sometimes in bad circumstances, I love Jesus and I want to do what he says. And the only way that's true is if he first loved me and gave himself for me. And then we ought to do good works so that people see us semi-happy in the midst of difficult days and trials. And they might ask, what's the reason for this hope that you have? And then we might be able to tell them the gospel. Well, let's do good works, but not for the wrong reasons, for the right reasons. We're grateful. It can be a means of assurance, and it can open up the eyes and ears of unbelievers around us so that we can testify the goodness of the Lord. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray that you would help us to know why good works are appropriate for believers, to know why we ought not to do them, and to know why we ought to do them. The biggest one is we ought to be thankful because we don't deserve to exist, let alone exist after coming into existence and sinning our way, many of us, into adulthood. We don't deserve to live under either of those conditions, and yet we did and do. And certainly we don't deserve to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, but we have been. Make us more grateful. Make us more thankful. Help us to ponder the great salvation that you've given to us freely and sovereignly. And bless now as we enjoy the supper together and sing your praises. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.